Welcome to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. And now, with our hosts, Eric Colson, Don Cleaver, and Ava LaRue.
Welcome to Valley Outdoors, everybody. Glad to have you with us. We got Ava in the house.
Of course. The Don, show doesn't happen without me. Did you know that? I would like everybody to know that.
Wow. That's unfortunate, Don.
That's how we're starting things
up. She is right, you know.
Don't give that. You can't, because then we're...
Oh, my gosh. No. You should have saw his face. He was at first like... And he's like, well...
No. Don.
She is right.
I need help.
Yeah.
I need help. Well, Don's obviously here.
Yay.
We're all here, so lots of good stuff coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about the Lake Winnebago spearfishing season that's coming up. Need to get permits for that. Some hunting tactics that you want to think of, kind of out of the box thought processes. And we're going to get this week to coping with lure addiction. We didn't get a chance to do that. So that is a fun little conversation. And we can get that nailed down, Don. You don't have that, do you?
Nope.
Yep. And that is admit to it. All right. I think all of you have that in our listening audience right now. So hang tight. We'll be back right after these words.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
Good to see you, Donald.
Yeah, it's always good to be seen.
Ava?
We are enjoying some great fall-like weather this weekend, aren't we?
I am pretty happy about that.
Yeah, the colors are really starting to change now.
In this part of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and this is usually when it's time to have the monster wind come through and immediately end
stop
all
it.
The color version
stop
at
it.
All.
Don't even yeah. put that out there.
Actually, I saw some trees recently that are just beautiful.
Oh.
You know, the maples. And so get the camera out and see if we can get a
photo. It's pretty cool. If you haven't been down to the Lake Pepin area, it's something it is pretty cool. The River Drive, if you're heading out in the river to go fishing, and the fishing is just started.
I've heard that in the river.
Walleye fishing is just starting to take off, and I'll be heading out here as soon as we're done taping the show.
Okay.
It's going to be a game on deal, but yeah, as much as I hate to promote that fact that it, when the fishing's going to get more people to go, it is what it is. So it's a good fall bite.
It keeps people interested in the sport.
Oh yeah. No question about it.
That's why
enjoy
people invest in it and their hopes is to have good luck when they go out.
And they will. I know my buddy over at Everett's, Chris Winchester, he's kind of got his finger on that, as well as Denver, who's one of the guides out here as well. They always stay on top
We're
of
talking
fish,
the Mississippi
so.
River here.
Mississippi River, right.
Yep.
The sturgeon are off the charts. The muskie are going up on St. Croix. A buddy of mine went out. He got 4 in one morning.
Wow.
Nothing major. So, you know, 40-inch was the biggest one. But you know what? If you can get four fish, and they were all caught on the 8, on the figure 8, at
really?
The boat.
Oh, really?
And if that's not a cool bite, I don't know if you've ever watched musky videos, you can kind of get sucked down the rabbit hole because you start looking at them, and you're like, oh, there's a cool one. And then and of course, then your feed starts to change. So you're seeing, which is nothing wrong with it, but... So they had a good time up there. So I think the feedback is starting to
start up,
turn on a little yep. bit. And Jig and Minnow have been the top producer. And it's odd, Don. You know, many years ago, I had worked with Lindy prior to Pradco buying them, and we had done a lot with a bait called the Munchies. It was either a ringworm or a grub, and twister tail, plastic.
Yep.
And ringworms in the river are great on three ways, but we would run them vertical jigging. And we just crushed the fish. And the last 8 to 10 years, can't get that same deal. I run one every year. I start at one, run one grub and one, and I'll run a short shank jig. I run a short VMC jig with a stinger hook. And every year, the last 5-6 years, that minnow, jigging a minnow, absolutely outperforms. It's just the craziest deal. Don't get it. Can't get it. And I can't change colors to make it work. The fish want that jig and a minnow.
Are you talking specifically river, though?
Well,
or anywhere?
Yeah, talking here, yes, specifically okay. river. And, you know, we may have talked about it, I think, about a month ago or so. We're talking colors that would go away. You know, or you'd be hot on a color like Red Craw.
Yep.
Red Craw, and that worked a lot of places. Then all of a sudden, can't buy it. Can't buy a fish. Can't buy a fish on it.
Yeah, there's no logical reason.
No, except if the fish got conditioned to everybody running Red Craw. That's obviously a distinct possibility. But what does it come down to? You switch up until you find something that works, and then invariably it turned over to Parrot. Parrot was, you know.
Yep, for a few years.
So, and it's still Parrot's hot. Still going.
Yep.
And it's one of the key colors on the jigs. That's why I brought it up. The parrot color jig and blue and white jig, both. I have them all pre-tied in a tube, and if I break off, I just peel it off, put another one on.
It's just odd to me that a walleye decides to dine on parrot.
Well, they do like beef, but they don't like their food talking back to them. So apparently, that's why they probably want a parrot.
I go down the road that these colors are more for the angler than they are for the fish.
You got to put on what's going to work, right, Don? And,
well,
and it comes down to everybody in the boat has some slight different color. And when you do that, and one starts dominating.
What if they're all catching the same? They're all dominating?
No. What I'm saying is when one suddenly starts catching, you start switching over until it's like, okay.
I go down the school, it's more about your technique and your skill of feeling it. And
when you have the same bait on two of them and the one is night and day difference, like 6-1, 7-1.
You know, I've seen you in a boat catch three fish and me none. I just figured you were cheating. None of Don. Well, I mean, maybe you got a different action.
Well,
than
not
I
that I especially tied your rigs or anything, Don.
Well, on that particular, but you weren't in my boat at that time.
I did do that. Well, tell you what, we are going to come back. We're going to have some stories. We're going to talk a little bit about the sturgeon spearing. We're going to talk a little bit about out of the box hunting tactics. And I think you're going to want to hang out because it's going to be some good stuff. Hang tight. Be right back. Well, thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. Thanks for coming in. Hanging after the break. And as always, we'd like to have you guys check us out. Where, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Don?
I think we're still on Facebook, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah, we are. We're still there. So whether you believe it or not, Don. We are at both places. We encourage you to check it out, of course. Check us out on The Valley Outdoors, the interactive map. We talk about it a lot, but it is really cool. And I think, Don, you actually used it to send a story to me this week, I think.
Probably.
The DNR website?
So. No, I get the news releases every week.
Wait, you mean you're more advanced than that?
Oh, yes. Oh, if you only knew.
Ava, unfortunately, we do know.
Yeah right.
That's what I was
we do know.
Of.
It's all good.
So off air. So if you guys only knew the off air conversations we have.
What, my crash out that I have?
Yeah, it's Ava's technical issues. Don't worry about it. It's a technical problem.
The guys got all my woes in about 3 minutes.
And we got downloaded. And then we're talking about, as the story kind of wanders in various pieces and parts, we've learned different things. Wisconsin has two deer herds. And
elk herds.
I'm sorry. Yeah, they have more than two deer
herds. They got a lot of deer herds.
Because I'm looking at the story for deer, and I'm looking at you. So it's elk. And yes, elk herds. And one up in the northern area, and then one down towards Black River Falls. And you were talking about the applicants that they had for the herds. Hunt that they have.
Yeah, it's coming up. The hunt's coming up here real soon.
Right, and it was what, eight available up in the north?
Eight tags in the north herd.
And then four were taken by the tribe, and then down south.
There's eight.
So think about that. We have 16 elk tags available.
In the state
of Wisconsin. Okay, now here's the pause for you that are listening. How many applications do you think were put in for eight tags south and eight tags north? Total of 16. How many applications do you think? Give it a second. Don, how many was it?
26,000. Odds aren't real high.
The
elk tag in Wisconsin.
I'm sorry, you're not going to win.
Yeah, you might as well buy the Powerball.
And it is a once in a lifetime. So you get one tag, that's your tag forever.
Yep. But it's like Minnesota. I think Minnesota's only got four tags available.
Yeah. But in the other part of the conversation was, they actually have quite a herd down there that are, what would you say, detrimental to the...
Well, they're having plenty of issues with the
farmland.
Yeah, the farm community.
Crops.
With crops and that kind of thing, because they're big animals and they eat a lot, and they probably really enjoy that fresh corn.
Everything.
That's
corn and pumpkins and...
Yeah, whatever's out there. So, hay fields.
Yeah.
But you do see them if you drive through there. There was just photos on Facebook not that long ago. People were sending photos in with elk by the fence right on, I-94.
I-94
going down there.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow.
So luckily, they don't want to jump the fence, but they can jump a pretty high fence.
they can jump a long way.
And then you don't want to hit one.
No.
Yeah.
That's like hitting a moose, same thing.
Yep.
You lose every time.
Yep.
But again, there you have it.
But it's kind of cool that they seem to grow the herd every year.
Yeah.
So.
It's just hoping that they're
behaving themselves.
Yeah, exactly. We hit on the story talking about the sturgeon spearing license. Don, you sent this story to me.
Yes.
Out of Madison, Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Department. I'm struggling today. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds all spearers. Did you know that was a word?
Spears?
Yeah, not spear fishermen. Spearers.
Yes.
There's an ERS.
Yep.
You know what plural? You know what plural fish is? You know what that is?
Fishes.
Fish.
Fish.
Fishs. F-I-S-H-S. Fishs.
I don't think so.
That's my story, and I'm going with it. Anyway, spearers interested in harvesting a lake sturgeon from Lake Winnebago during the 2026 sturgeon spearing season, they need to purchase their license before October 31st.
That's for the spearing season?
Spearing season.
Yes. Okay.
I'm taking the S off of everything. There's an unlimited number of licenses available for Lake Winnebago, and that's unlimited. I'm not joking. I reread it. Both resident and non-resident can purchase a license through the Go Wild system or at any license sales location. All license holders must be 12 years old. However, military personnel home on leave during the spearing season and youth who will turn 12 between November 1st, 2025, and the last day of the season, do not need to purchase their license by the October 31st deadline. The Upriver Lakes fishery, that means Poygan, Butamore, and Winneconne, fished those many times. It's managed by preference point system and a lottery that's limited to 500 permitted spearers. Successful Upriver Lakes tags applicants have already been authorized for the 26th season and have until the start of the spearing season to purchase a license. Successful Lakes tag applicants cannot purchase a tag for Lake Winnebago. So you really have two separate spearing areas. You have the upper or the Upriver Lakes fishery, which is Poygan, Butamore, and Winneconne. And then you have Lake Winnebago. So there's two different scenarios. The Lake Winnebago sturgeon population continues to be one of the healthiest in the world, supporting the spearing season, but protecting and maintaining the opportunity continues to require a lot of time and resources. Licenses help fund necessary management for the Winnebago system, such as staffing stations during the spear season, working the spawning season to help develop sustainable harvest caps. Sturgeon spearing will begin on February 14th and run for 16 days or until any predetermined harvest caps are met. So they monitor it on a daily basis. So they could go through it and all of a sudden it's like, nope, we're done.
Yeah, it doesn't mean because you've got a license you have you're allowed to take. And they run it till the limits are filled and shut it down.
Yep. So if you have a tag, you got an opportunity.
Yep.
As they say, chip and a chair and a chance.
Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah. I've got a buddy of mine. This is how into it they are, Don. Fishing buddy of mine. I don't know if you ever met him. I won't say his name, but he actually has a Suburban he bought specifically for it.
For spearing.
Spearing.
Yeah, well.
It's got a hole in the floor, so he can sit inside the vehicle, run it.
Oh. Stay warm and spear.
And its sides drop down on it, so it's dark, it's blacked out, and he's comfortable sitting on a chair.
How nice.
I mean, I'm sorry, but, I mean, it's like the deer stands with, like, flat screen TV and park a lounger and
360 windows and
I mean, I'm surprised you don't have them, and they probably have them where they have a motion sensor that says, hey,
something's moving out here in the woods
over at the 90 degree mark, better check that out, camera four, and then pull it up on the closed screen TV and say, oh, there he is. I better go over there.
I see.
Oh, my goodness. What do you do, Don?
Go hunting.
Well, there is that.
Yeah.
So, being that we're coming up on deer season, hey, I'm actually going to be doing some archery this year, archery hunting.
You are?
Yeah. I've got a friend of mine, very, very nice gentleman, that we're out at Port Washington, same area that we are on, believe it or not. He's in the area here in the Red Wing area. Didn't know it. We were out there in the same finger dock out at Port Washington.
Yep.
And he said, come on out. Let's take a look. So we drove around his property. He's got like 15 stands and they're all set places. And he keeps sending me camera shots, all the deer. I went, oh my gosh. So Pulled the old bow out and got it ready to rock and roll.
So Ava and I are really looking forward to the meat sticks, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
Well, see, Don, if you really consider every game fish and food that I happen to make, I have brought in, have I not?
Yes, you have.
But no meat sticks.
Don.
Because he doesn't normally go hunting.
I haven't been.
This is the first time since I've known you that you've gone and sat.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so the concept is kind of funny because you look at what we have, a dry fall, right? So a lot of it's based on, you know, look at moving to water. Well, and he's got a water source that's right there with a lot of water. And you look at the path, beeline, that it goes right through a field. And
there's a road.
It goes right through to the water. And so I'm excited about that. But I've got to get out
you're a little late.
No, you know what? It's never too late. It's been too hot.
I saw a buck
here way too hot
last week that a, a guy got, and it was a massive.
Oh, yeah.
Massive
and,
template.
You know, I'm not really that concerned with getting a massive.
I'm just saying, there's
10 or 14.
I don't know if I've ever seen one with that long of tines.
Yeah.
And that, you know, big around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Some good numbers on that one, I suspect. Yep. But so I'm excited about it. It's I've got to get my scent-free soap. I've got to go through and do all that, make sure I'm not, you know.
Well, this is encouraging.
So you're not going to get me to go ice fishing, though. That's the only thing you're not going to get me to do.
No, I've done it once. And it's just too doggone hard to troll.
Well,
you're just not doing it right.
I bring a chainsaw.
No, yeah. You bring a comfy chair and you sit there.
Yeah. No, you bring a chainsaw and you cut a long channel.
Oh, so he can go trolling?
Yeah, you just
you bring what? Just don't forget the deck of cards.
Yeah.
Oh, you're inside.
You're not going to be inside, huh?
Oh, normally it's like that bucket thing.
No. Why? Why suffer when you don't have to?
Yeah.
Because I end up being like when I'm fishing, I think, okay, there's no fish here. I need to move. And then you start moving. And if you don't move, you're just sitting there waiting for the fish. That's a problem. That's like fishing.
We know what the problem is.
You can move your little pop-up.
Oh, I didn't say pop-up. I mean, I think Don's thinking like the permanent house sitting on a spot. And I'm thinking,
well, those
you know,
well,
that's
what
most
too.
Of that's what a lot of them are, and a lot of guys really enjoy that.
They do. I'm not. There's no joke, but I have to laugh because it's like bobber fishing. When you know, I'm fishing the tour, in certain stops we're bobber fishing, and it's literally you feel like you're sitting in front of a train that's going to run you over.
You're waiting.
Hurry up and wait, and it's not happening. And I like to be active and chasing the active fish, and here it's like the only place that I actually had that it worked is Devil's Lake, and it happened multiple times, and I had multiple top tens, and bobber fishing, and it was so knockdown drag out bobber, full contact because you had braid, and you had the drag tightened down as hard as you could because of all the trees. You hook a fish, you're pulling it out. You don't know how big it is. Even if it's like 5 pounds, which you've had happen, you're dragging the thing out of this brush. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's just. But
you're fishing for a different reason. You're in a competitive situation where.
Right. But that's where.
The rest of us are just waiting for the bobber to go doink, doink. And.
Yeah. I can't get rid
of it. We got something biting on it.
I can't. I'm competitive and I can't. Yeah, I'm like, I want to get, like, you know. All right.
I'm not trying to win anything.
Well,
trying to get through the day.
It's like when you went to cab. Like
I'm
like, we gotta go. Don, we get fish over here. Nah, I'm going down this way. I went, okay. Anyway, so we talked about out of the box deer hunting maneuvers, and so let me see if you both would concur. Rustling leaves can be deceiving. Another squirrel, a stick snapping, something much heavier. How many of you, if you think of the listening audience, if you've been deer hunting, how many times have you heard leaves move and you're like, oh, crap.
Oh, that's for sure a deer.
Oh, crap.
For sure. And then it's not.
And then, of course, what happens? You start to get the chills. You're like, oh,
yep,
something's happening. Yep. Something's happening. That first little daylight break. And then you realize, crap,
it's a bird running around on the ground
or it's a squirrel or it's a fox or it's anything but the target species, and you're like, really?
Yeah.
And the worst is when it's behind you.
Yes.
Because you can't make the turn.
Can't turn around.
You can't turn around. You're just sitting here waiting for it. So as it comes out, I mean, obviously there's a lot of different things we can do, but we've got multiple or two basic different areas. You got private land you can hunt, and you got public land, and two different strategies, right? So the concept, if you think about it, these are kind of the details I thought was interesting about the article. Food sources, rubs, scrapes, sheds, tracks, they're vital to know during the archery season, but those are signs of unpressured deer activity, right? So you've seen a lot of that going on. Mature deer, they've survived previous seasons and they know what's going on before the shooting hours begin. hunters coming out of the woodwork affects their behavior. We've seen that happen. It literally will turn them into nocturnal animals just almost regularly. Activity signs on private land, do you have it yourself? Those are our key pieces. So any activity, whether it's rub, scrapes, pass, whatever, those are key pieces as well. If you're alone on that type of scenario, obviously you want to try to keep your presence limited, your sense limited, everything limited. Keep it down to a limited movement. So if you're looking at scouting, make sure you have the time and do it so it's not during shooting hours. Make sure it's if they're bedded down doing something else. Try and go out there like in the middle of the afternoon where it's you can take a look and they're not going to be spooked. Prime example, a lot of times you can drive your side-by-side and they don't get affected by the side-by-side. So don't be afraid to do that. And, of course, making sure that you look at the areas that you're on for consistent pathways and or the best methods and the direction that they're going to be coming from. So stay tuned on those things. We're going to have some more of those tips next week. But for Valley Outdoors, that wraps it up for us. Ava, Don, that's a quick ending for us. This show wrapped up quick. Surprising.
It does.
That's the way that works. Hope everybody has a fun, safe weekend in the outdoors. Enjoy it, and we will be seeing you guys next week. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.